Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Seth Green, and you are listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark, and I am so hot, I would desperately like a glass of water. Please, please, give me some water.
This is Cindy Preston, and I'm with Mark on Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Melissa Peterman from CMT's The Singing Bee and the television show Reba, and I have to tell you, I just have to get it off my chest, I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi there. This is Faith Roscoe from General Hospital. You're listening to Mark on Somewhere in Vegas. And you better watch out. We know how to find you if you're not listening.
Hi, this is Shannon Egan from Whippet. And I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hey, this is Lee Allen Baker with Somewhere in Vegas, talking with Mark with a Q.
This is Courtney Cronin. You're listening to Somewhere in Vegas with your host, Mark. And I would make sure to listen every week because he's a sure bet.
Hey, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money. I got two tickets to Paradise. And it's, you know what? It's Somewhere in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Hi, this is Crystal Kale, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Terry Nunn from Berlin, and you're listening to Mark Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Miracle Lori from Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. There are three flowers in a vase, and I'm listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Erin Hill, and you are listening to Mark on Blog Talk Radio and Somewhere in Vegas. Mark is a great guy.
Hi, this is Sean Pulaski. I'm still trying to figure out Mark Pico's sexuality, but I know you're listening to Somewhere Live in Vegas.
Here you go, Mark. I'm sorry. I thought you were she. I'm sorry. Get out of the tent. Let's get out of here.
Hey, this is Lance and Anna from Free Radio. And Anna?
And you're listening to Somewhere in Vegas.
Yes.
My favorite.
My favorite. You know, that's usually what happens with me. I go to Vegas and I get lost, and so I end up somewhere in Vegas.
Somewhere in Vegas.
But okay. I just don't know where it is.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, word.
Get ready. It's going to be hot. It's in Vegas. Check out Mark. Be there or be square.
Well, everybody, it's Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. Hopefully in just a few minutes, we will get Richard Oliver Jr. on. He is the current host of the very, very exciting Rhyme Impersonator Show on this network, actually. He's actually doing a pilot. I actually met him briefly at Sundance Film Festival. He was doing some interviews for his show, so it's great to be able to hopefully have him on the show more momentarily. While we are waiting for him, I'll play a little bit of March to May, and March to May is going to be on the show in a couple weeks, I think 2 weeks from today. So it'll be interesting to be able to talk to them as well. So here's March to May, Georgia. We'll be right back with hopefully Robert Oliver Jr.
Take me home, Georgia. Gone away for a while. Take me home and take everything I own. 'Cause it'll only weigh me down. Georgia, 'cause I'm leaving at 'cause I'll do this on my own. Don't hold my hand, but Georgia, I'll remember you. Keep memory of me too. The road is long, but I know just where I'm going. The road is wide, but I don't feel like alone. The road is empty, but
have the pleasure of introducing a guy that's been making waves the last couple months. He is a producer. He is a host. He is, like I said, he hosts his own show here on Blog Talk Radio as well. A very talented individual overall. We have Richard Oliver Jr. on with us right now. How are you doing, Richard?
Hey, muck you. How are you? Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Yeah, no problem at all. It was great meeting you over at Sundance. You know, I know I had a lot of fun. Yeah, I know I had a lot of fun at the Wu-Tang Clan presser, and I'm pretty sure you did as well.
Oh, it was great. Sundance was incredible, amazing talent, a lot of good celebrities doing big things. Very inspiring event, I should say.
It was. It was fun to be able to be in that atmosphere. I mean, obviously there were celebrities walking along the street. Up and down the street, pretty much all the days that I was there, and
wow.
You know, it just the event as itself. I mean, it's really great to be able to see so many talented individuals all in one spot, and especially
definitely
being there. Yeah.
How did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it very, very well. I ended up making a lot of contacts there, and I
good connections.
A lot of great people. Yeah, I got with some great connections. I got some great guests. That I recorded while I was there as well. I'm pretty sure you did the same as well.
Wow. No, definitely. It was really great, man. It was, I have no regrets.
Yeah, no regrets at all. I mean, it was a lot of fun to me. I mean, why the decision to make the trip out to Sundance this year?
Well, it was great. For branding, it was really great. I kind of just wanted to introduce. I'm into filmmaking as well. When I was doing this pilot for the show, so it was great to just. I wanted to go out there and kind of interview people. I was kind of promoting the show, the radio show as well. That's been kind of promoting the comedy show. So it was really made sense to just go out there and brand myself, brand the show's logo, and meet some cool stars in the process.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I kind of did the same thing. I was out there, and actually, it was just one of my guests happened to invite me to go out there and cover a couple of the events, and I was out there, and it was an absolute fun time to be able to do
pretty
that.
Pretty cool.
As well. So yeah, it was great. Yeah.
Pretty cool. I wish we had more time to spend together. I wish we had more time to chill. We were both so busy.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, I was only there for a couple of days, but yeah, it was a fun time. I mean. Yeah, it was great to be able to see that as well. Tell me a little bit about how you got started, you know, doing the comedy and doing the hosting.
Well, the comedy, I've been acting for some time at my alma mater's New York Film Academy, and I learned all the facets of filmmaking in front of the camera, behind the camera. But I've always been singing and acting in, like, you know, school off-Broadway plays and school. So it's always been there and always writing. So then I kind of got into this comedy thing. It was kind of a project that I had in my head, and, you know, I didn't have the capital and I didn't have the crew and the team to really pull it off. So I was just, it was just spinning, you know, one of those things that just spins in the pod and you're just thinking about it. I wonder if I could ever execute this. And what we did when I was in film school, I started as a project, and I started with one of the characters, Uncle Charlie, which is actually the face of the comedy pilot, comedy show. And I did it with a few crew, film crew guys, students, and student filmmakers, worked on this one character. And then I realized as we were doing this particular short film with that particular character, things got a little complicated when, you know, you didn't have the crew there all the time. You know, people had other projects they were working on, and then he didn't have much capital to really pull off the short film. So I said, decided just to stop. That's when I learned about the process of filmmaking. To make something good, you need a good team. So I took a break. I said, nope, I'm going to raise financing for this project and really do it right. And then a friend told me about a crowdfunding Kickstarter. So then I kind of assembled, got with my good production manager, Vina Kay, and we embarked on an ambitious campaign to raise $5,000 to produce this pilot. So we successfully raised the $5,000 with about 85 backers, then did a second project, second Kickstarter, and we raised another $8,500. So a total of $13,500 for the production. So that got the production rolling. I got the crew. Then I had the team in place. I had the scripts. Everything was great. And then it kind of took off from there and produced here in New York City. And then we recently came out of post-production. I'm proud to say the pilot is finished. The sizzle reel is finished. And I'm pitching it to TV networks right now.
Yeah, I mean, what's it like for you to be able to have New York as a backdrop? I've talked to a couple filmmakers that have shot in New York as well and had the uniqueness of having that as a location. But what does it mean to you to be able to shoot in New York?
New York. Well, to do it in New York was really, really great because the kind of characters have derived from New York. The scripts were derived from New York. So everything just made sense for me to really produce it here and really have that, bring that New York comedy, the real New York comedy swag to it. So I think that was a great thing. The challenges were, you know, shooting in New York, you know, there's a lot of, you know, permit issues or where you can shoot. Of course, some locations are more expensive than others. So working with a kind of a $13,500 cap, we had to be very frugal and very, savvy and staying within the budget. So, of course, classic guerrilla student filmmaking. I used my friend's home, turned it into a traditional Chinese American home for one of my Asian sketches, and saved a little money there. So it was, New York was great. I would ultimately love to produce the pilot, to produce me, see the show get picked up in New York City. That's my big goal, you know, if the networks take on to it here, which is great. And I have a few meetings with a few big people. So hopefully if they take it here in New York, it'd be great. Cause then I could really go crazy. New York is definitely the place, you know, where you see comedy every day.
Yeah, you know, I think right now, and kind of funny thing was, is that when I was at Sundance, I ended up taking in one of the television panels, and I ended up asking, a lot of people that have listened to my show know the story, that I had asked the head of A&E Networks about the idea of, you know, to be able to be a little bit more daring to do what, you know, to do what shows nowadays. And he had mentioned that there's just so many outlets now that are out there now to be able to put out your stuff, that a lot of networks are actually lowering their rating standards.
Yes.
In order to keep them as well. So we're in a time right now where that's kind of That's kind of, you know, that's kind of the awesome thing is that we're getting to that point where
there's more outlets for
you to be able to show your content.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is good. Lovely. The digital age has changed everything. I mean, it's really, you can really, really market yourself, promote, advertise very effectively with social media. You know, and the podcast, of course, content is everything. That's what is really great, because no playing field anymore with like networks. You know, now you have ancillary markets, you have production houses. Everyone's looking for the next best thing. And ancillary markets are blowing up, Netflix, Hulu, all these channels, and they're looking at that. We just got great news for the show. We just signed a deal with a multi-channel network, MCN, and they're taking us on, and they want to see the show, the YouTube channel, really move up. They want to It was really great to, you know, the work that we put into these videos, the work that we put into kind of the making of the show, showing people the behind the hustle. And what I love about our YouTube channel, really across the backstory. And in addition to that, we have so many inspirational stories of artists like us, you know, like Never Give Up Their Dreams, and just showing them the process of filmmaking from taking just an idea. I mentioned that because that's really, it's really great for filmmaking. This new way of getting content. Hey, Mark?
Richard? Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit there.
I can hear you. Oh, sorry. If you can hear me. Can you hear me, Mark?
Clear now. Yeah, I can hear you. You're clear.
Okay. All clear. Yeah, so that's really great that they have that outlet for us, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's great to be able to. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, it's great to be able to have that opportunity to be able to, you know, show out some talent and kind of work your way up that way, too. I mean, it's, you know, I like I said, there's just so much variety in terms of what's been going on in terms of the world as well. So I think it's great to be able to hear that you have that access to people to look at the show and all that as well. Tell me a little bit about the ICP company in general and a little bit of what you guys do besides obviously the show, but kind of some of the things that you've got going on.
Oh, ICP Entertainment is kind of like a multifaceted company. You know, we're a production company, but we also have a side services to the company that kind of helps the production company keep going. And those services are great for new up and coming artists. You know, we have coverage, we have interviews, those type of things that can, you know, we have video coverage, photography coverage, all the in-house stuff that we've kind of used to spark this rather than produce everything we've been doing. We've been sharing it with other artists. So they come in-house with us and they get it, you know, for a lot cheaper than they would get it on the pure market value. And we can assemble a crew for them. We can kind of look at their projects and kind of give it that fine eye and professional look and kind of really push them in a good direction. That's what I love about it. The great thing we have going on now is video marketing with ICP. And by the way, ICP Entertainment is the production company that produced the Rhyme Impersonator show. So a lot of people get it confused. But so we have this great video marketing project now for new up and coming artists, singers, writers. It kind of brings attention, like a mini spotlight, to what they're doing at the present time and the projects they're currently working on and the ones they want to work on in the future. So it's like a great service. We give it to them and they get the URL link. They can share it on their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, their websites, and they can market themselves, because that's all about, this is what this industry is about, buzz. As you know, as a radio host myself, it's about buzz. You know, you got to keep the buzz going. People have to be talking about you, and then you can attract, you know, that right entity to achieve your desired result. So I love this service. I'm seeing a lot of artists grow. They're moving in different directions. They're meeting different people. They're getting more projects. So definitely, if anyone's interested out there listening, video marketing service, we definitely have that. And they can always reach me anytime at icpentertainment@yahoo.com if they want to know any more information.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really important. I know that I've been doing this show for, 6-7 years right now, and it was really cool to see some of the artists make their way up and really kind of make an impact in the world. I mean, it's been an interesting ride in terms of seeing some of these artists come up. So yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, to start some buzz, and you know, I'm very proud of some of my guests that end up making it making it big time. So yeah, it's pretty good to be able to see that as well. And especially at Sundance, I think I've, kind of getting a buzz there as well. Who's probably the biggest star you think that you've interviewed?
Oh, I'd have to say, Nikki Reed from the Twilight series.
Yeah. Well, what was it? What was like being able to interview?
It's pretty cool. You know, I think we look at Hollywood stars and, we think they're very, standoffish and, but she was totally cool. She was like very, very cordial, very funny in ways, we had a great interview. And I think, it's actually really her view on crowdfunding. You know, she supports crowdfunding and, of course, at that Hollywood status level that she's been in some hit movies, Twilight series, of course, we know is huge, Lords of Dogtown, all these, but she was very down to earth, so I enjoyed that interview with her. But of course, it's very Hollywood, you have to go, you can't talk too long, you have all these press people around you, but even with that, she was still, really cool and really, really like what we were doing, and I love the opportunity to be on the Ryan Personator Show.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. The celebs, a lot of celebs I've had on my show, they've been really, really cool.
How about you? Who's your favorite celebrity?
Oh, that's tough because I've had quite a few. I just aired my Paige Hemmes. I re-ran a Paige Hemmes interview I did last Thursday.
Oh, cool.
I did an interview with Seth Green. I'll have to do that as Throwback Thursday one of these days.
Nice.
I've had some really good guests on the show. I think about a month ago, I reaired my interview with Blue Oyster Cult. There's been some really
nice
good people that have come across my desk in terms of guests, and that seems to be continuing. So, I'm hoping that
continues.
So, I think
congrats. It will. You'll keep going strong. Nothing will stop you. Nothing will stop you, boy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my Uncle Charlie speaking to you.
That's great. I mean, how did you come up with some of these characters for the Ryan Personator Show, by the way?
I would definitely say it was through my experiences, the corporate world. I studied paralegal. I was actually a paralegal for some time in the corporate sector before I got into entertainment. So, I derived some of those characters from those situations and from good friends. And just in New York City in general, you meet so many different walks of life, so many ethnicities. I have Chinese friends. I have, Russian friends. I have, Jewish friends. So they've come, it's been a fabric of different people in my life that have, influenced me in some way, and they've actually made me laugh. Culture is so funny. so much comedy, so much material. So I think it comes from that. My character, Uncle Charlie, is a Jewish character, married to an Asian wife, smokes cigarettes and drinks decaf coffee. A bit of a pervert as well. My Asian character is totally different, hardworking and very funny, Mr. Chow is his name. So I have a few. Amanda, I play a female character named Amanda, hot blonde. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of miss, I reminisce about the days then that sketch comedy was really, really big.
Yes.
That was back in the 90s. I mean,
that was the best time. Living
exactly.
Color, Mad TV, those were the shows that, really inspired me, Living Color especially, and they sparked the new up-and-coming talent that we see today, Jamie Foxx, Jim Carrey, that's where they came from, and I think, I really believe our show has that potential to take, people who are talented, really take them to that next level, has that potential.
I got to ask, favorite character in Living Color?
Oh, this is hard. I like Blaine Edwards, Men on Films, Two Snaps and a Twist. Mm-hmm. I read that book, Moby Dick. That gets two snaps and a twig.
In the backfield's emotion.
In the backseat.
Yeah, I remember, yeah. I was a big fan of Women Loving Color back in the day.
It was huge. I loved it, man. That was the show. Yeah, yeah. You know, it was like, what happened? Sketch comedy. So, you know,
yeah.
I really, it's such a challenge, you know, when you know you have something good. When you can look at it years ago, we can laugh like this about it. That's when you know you have something amazing.
Yeah.
That's what I want to create.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of miss those days. I mean,
we get
a little bit of it on. Yeah, we get a little bit on YouTube, but
most
of it, 99% of it's not good.
Right.
But yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's absolutely.
I'm longing for those days. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I think we're kind of longing for those days.
Yeah, we are kind of longing for those days. you know, you mentioned that you actually had stated that you had were a paralegal before you went to the entertainment business. Why did you decide to kind of make that shift over? Was it just because you
Well, it was kind of, you know, well, my law attributes, I was more with my father wanted me to be, you know, a lawyer, you know, so I studied business law, paralegal studies, and I was very on my way. I was planning to possibly go to law school. And then I just, in junior college, I kind of discovered arts. I discovered that, you know, I kind of liked the drama department. You know, so father wasn't too intrigued about that. And, you know, kind of fell into that. But I wasn't that kid in, you know, school, in law in my law class. Like, what's evidence? Evidence is the... I knew what the answer was, you know, but I was just, you know, I would get straight A's, great GPA. But it wasn't my passion, I should say. When I got into the arts, it was kind of acting. And I went to do some stage plays and the family, I think they came out once to see me, like, man, he's pretty good. So then I went on from there, you know. So, I mean, it was kind of disappointing to parents. My parents are West Indian, from Jamaica. So they're like very work ethic, you know, type of family, stable nest, you know, non-risk taking type. And my father's a little pissed, like, boy, you lazy coconut. What are you doing in entertainment? Not everybody can be P. Schmitty. I said, P. Diddy there. Diddy, not Smitty. Yeah, you lazy coconut, get a real job like me and your mother. You're wearing a dress now. I can't take you home to the boys and play dominoes. So
that reminds me of a sketch on In Living Color. Remember they had that that one with the Jamaican family that did everything?
Oh, yes, everything.
Yeah.
I'm working 10 jobs. I'm a film producer, writer, TV host. I'm still doing applications at the flower shop.
I remember, that reminded me of that, you know, really, really hardcore, you know. It's like, yeah,
I took you back. See, I took you way back. See that?
Yeah,
we get to do some of that. Sorry.
And you know, have you ever done just offhand, have you ever done stand-up comedy at all?
No, actually, I've never done stand-up. I've always been just, I've seen myself as more of a, because I'm just into acting, you know, as a sketch writer, you know, sketch actor, I would say. You know, but a lot of people encourage me to do stand-up. I've never actually gone on the stage and did stand-up, but I'm very comfortable on stage and in sketch. But maybe I'll do it one day. I may break out just like, bam, I'm doing stand-up now. Stand-up.
I think it could translate. You could translate really very well over, you know, into stand-up comedy if you wanted to, you know.
There's
so many opportunities in New York too to be able to have that opportunity to be able to break in, and so yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting, and you get that instant satisfaction too of getting that input from the crowd too. So
right, that's sketch kind of doesn't give you but getting that a lot as well. I could kind of see some probably a talk show. Like, you know, something like, you know, a Letterman type of thing, you know, say a few jokes and then bring on the guests. I could definitely think I could handle that. But it's tough. Stand-up is a real tough field. I mean, I see a lot of great comedians, and a lot of them are my friends, and you really have to be on your A-game to do stand-up. Just like as an actor does Broadway, there's no script. You know, you have to really have your timing has to be perfect. And it's kind of the same in sketch as well. Like the actors I deal with, I said you have to be on point on when you're doing a sketch. You really want to nail the character. You have to be the character. You have to step out of the comfort zone, you know, especially when you're playing female characters. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know, I've had many, many comedians on the show, and I've always enjoyed talking to them about the craft and all that as well. It is not a profession for the timid at all.
Right, right.
You know, some of the stories that I've heard, I mean, it's really tough work, and you have to kind of write a whole set, and it's not easy to write a set. In terms of that as well. So, I mean, it's tough, but I mean, you know, it never hurts to at least try. You know, I've tried once or twice, and I did okay.
Hey.
I wasn't, you know, but hey.
Hey, it's funny to me. I think it's just hard in general to make people laugh, period. You know, I think it's a process.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, I mean, how much improv do you do in terms of your work? Obviously, you know, you do sketch comedy, obviously you write a lot of material, but there's got to be some improv kind of into that.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I love the improv. As a director, when I'm on the film set, I always encourage my actors. I like being on script, but sometimes I like being off script. So I love to take takes on script and off script just to see what we'll capture. And it's been an amazing pilot. We literally, the sketch that I had to do, the celebrity sketch, which was our biggest sketch, Dr. Phil Saves America. It was great. We had to, with improv was ridiculous. It was just great. And we ended up keeping a lot of those takes because they worked. It was just, you couldn't even script it. It was just natural comedy. And you don't know why you're laughing, then you know something's good.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of crossover between sketch, especially if you're doing live sketch comedy, versus stand-up comedy, is that you got to kind of monitor your audience and know, you know, what's working, what's not working, and also pacing. So, it's something important to know.
Definitely. I mean, it really challenges the actors. Like all the actors I deal with, I always challenge them. You know, I take them out of that comfort zone of, you know, of their particular role they're playing. So that's really great. And some crack under pressure, some don't. That's when you know you're working with a good actor. To put together a real ensemble cast such as Living Color took a lot of thought. Keenan Ivory Wayans, he's one of my role models. Yeah, that must have taken a lot of thought to really say, this is the cast that's going to bring this show to the next level. So I'm yet to really experience that feeling, you know. But the show gets picked up, it's really great.
And the funny thing was is that a couple of the people that were on in Living Color never made it on SNL. So
never.
I always kind of find it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's me too. I didn't realize. Yeah. I was saying, why? What happened? You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know? It was a great run of the show. I kind of wish it would have stayed around longer, but I think the Wayne's boys have obviously they branched out in the movies and they've been doing their thing too, and hopefully that ends up being your direction.
Yeah, hey, I'm definitely ready for the big screen. Definitely, but I really would love to see this really take off. And that's the great thing about characters, because they can go in so many different directions, especially you have a character that is memorable and it really sticks with people. Say it's like one of my favorite characters, Medina. And Tyler Perry, one of my role models as well. You know, that character went in a total different segue, you know, in movies, you know, feature films. So it's all about characters and good content, I really feel. If you have that, then you sky's the limit. You can go in so many different directions in entertainment.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it's great to be able to see that as well. Now, we've got the Rhyme Impersonator Show coming up. You've already shot the pilot. I think you're still you're still doing the shows here on Blog Talk, right?
Yeah, still doing the show. Mm-hmm. Blog Talk every 6:30 to 7 p.m. every Monday, 6:30 to 7 p.m. following Mark Q's show. Yes.
Yeah, following my show, so definitely check that out.
Following your show.
But
definitely following your show, the Ryan Personage.
Yeah, following my show. Yeah, definitely, definitely check them out here on Vlog Talk as well. Anything else you want to add or any promote?
Definitely, we'd love to see if anyone's in New York, we'd love for you to come out to my networking event, because I love bringing artists together at Cellar Bar. It's going to be at 40 West 40th Street on April 21st from 6 p.m. to like 10 p.m. And I'm also going to be doing a birthday cruise for my birthday. Oh, yeah, birthday cruise in New York City is going to be on May 2nd. And you get all the information at www.icpentertainment.com. That's www.icpentertainment.com. And I want to leave my friend Mark Q with just a little. Someone wants to talk to you, Mark. Can I leave you a little message?
Sure.
I'm live with host Mark Q of Somewhere in Vegas. Now I know my voice may sound a bit strange, but my mother spoke this way, and my father spoke this way as well. And who would have thought that I would be one of the most recognizable voices in sports history. Thank you, Mark. And Somewhere in Vegas. Sin City. That's for you, Mark, from the Rhyme Impersonator Show.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot. I mean, if I head out to New York one of these days, I will make sure to look you guys up. And best of luck to you with the show coming up. I also want to mention you guys can check out the Rhyme Impersonator Show on Facebook if you want to check that out there as well.
Cool.
We'll definitely talk to you soon, Richard.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Q, you're the best, baby.
No problem. You've been great. We'll talk to you soon, and make sure you guys tune into his show coming up in about, 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes or so?
Definitely, 15 minutes. I follow Mark.
Yeah, you do. Well, thanks a lot for being on. It was great meeting you at Sundance, and put the lime in the coconut and sell them for a dime.
Keep going. Do some twists, Mark. Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to you soon, Richard.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Richard Oliver Jr., everybody. Like I said, you guys check out the Rhyme Impersonator Show coming up in about 20 minutes here on blogtalkradio.com. Great to be able to have him as a guest. Like I said, I meet him very briefly. At Sundance Film Festival was really great as well. We are going to be back coming up on Thursday. We have actually a guest this Thursday. Hope Flood will be returning, one of our favorite comedians. She's got a comedy convention coming up that we've talked about a couple years ago when we had her on the show. We're going to be talking a little bit about that and to kind of catch up with her on what's been going on in her life. So we'll have comedian Hope Flood at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday, and I'm not sure we're going to have a week from now. We'll see what's going on. I'm working on a guest. Hopefully it's going to be this gal, very talented country artist, Rochelle Lene. She'll be on the show hopefully coming up next Monday. I'm waiting on her publicist to give me a confirmation if she's going to be on or not. So we might have her on a week from today. And I'm actually, like I mentioned, 2 weeks from now, we're going to have Made in March on the show, so it'll be interesting to be able to talk to them about their new album coming out as well. Please follow us at SWIV on Twitter and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. VegasPodcasting.com, I need to update the site again, and I will do so sometime this week to kind of give you some of the stuff that we've had on the show the past couple weeks. Like I said, we had some throwback Thursday shows, and we had some really talented guests over the past couple of weeks. And with that in mind, we'll see you guys on Thursday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, with Hope Flood. So definitely check that out as well. We'll see you guys coming up on Thursday.